Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 474. Your FDH Lounge dignitaries today are Rick Morris, I, and my also very successful counterpart, Kyle Ross. We are, in short, killing it on the season. Last week on all the games, I was 11-4, 3-0 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock for the year. An unprecedented 45-31, 59% on all the games. Thank you very much. 7-8 on my big three, 2-3 on my locks. You, Kyle, 4-2 last week, 15-8 on the season. You have been in the black every week thus far.
Yeah, you know, whether it's one winning week, two winning weeks, three winning weeks, you know, not one, not two, not three, not four. Say it with me. It's always a pleasure to talk professional football with you, Rick. It's been a great season, and you know, this week it's funny because you and I, although I think this year maybe in particular we've come a little closer together on our handicapping styles, you know, I think when it comes to our top picks, you and I kind of are kind of set in our ways, and those are very different ways, and this card, week six, I think is going to exacerbate those ways.
It probably is.
At least that's
you
what
know,
I
you're
think.
Probably see...
At least that's what I think. See,
this...
At least that's what I think.
Well, there's going to be some differences, maybe not as many as you might think. We'll have to see
how that
plays out. We both had a very good year thus far, and before we get to it, I want to mention very quickly at the outset and get a plug-in for a friend of the show. I want to mention, everyone, a new column up at UncleSamSports.com. Liam O'Rourke, a fine fellow who, with his crew, has Squared Circle Gazette Radio. If you love the pro-graps, check out him. Carl Jones, the very witty and excellent gentleman himself there, and the other guys in that crew, the spiritual descendants to SNS, as I have kind of dubbed them, very presumptuous of me since I was only the fifth Beatle of SNS, but they're doing a great job there.
I'll back you up on that.
NFL. Well, they do a great
I'll
job.
I'll back
See,
up you, on you, that.
You can say that. I really can't, although I did, but they're doing a great job.
Now, was I the McCartney of SNS? Because I was only after the headline. You know,
I'm
the other
sure.
guy. The other guy was probably Lennon. He did all the heavy lifting.
Well, I don't know. You guys were both sort of the co-Lennons in my book and in most people's book. But you know, it's always a real pleasure whenever somebody as talented as Liam O'Rourke is a fan of your work, and he is a fan of our work, and I am a fan of his. And I just want to say, the column in Uncle Sam Sports, he went 3-0 last week, had two of your picks, although he did it separately. He did not get a chance to check out our show. He did not learn until later that his picks coincided with yours. Let's just say great minds think alike. So everybody should go check that out and make that a regular part of their weekly NFL prep. Now, two teams are going to have extended prep for week seven are Kansas City and New Orleans, as they are on the bye this week. The two teams, of course, that you know, I was going to say they squared off at Super Bowl IV, but I'm wrong. It took place in New Orleans. Kansas City was in Super Bowl IV. My bad.
I don't know. Was New Orleans even a team? Was New Orleans even a team around Super Bowl IV? I don't think they were eligible for Super Bowl IV. I think that maybe was their first year of existence, actually.
66.
Maybe
I thought 67.
Oh,
I could make myself look very dumb, but I'm going to say 1967. I think that's when they came into the league. But they shared Hank Stram. I knew I was thinking of something there. No, they weren't. But they shared Hank Stram. That's right. Hank Stram coached in New Orleans after coaching Kansas City. I knew there was a link there. We start with the Thursday game this week. A very interesting one. 3-2 Colts at the 3-2 Texans. It is Thursday Night Football on CBS and the NFL Network. Nance Sims Wolfson on the call. And in this one, the Texans are getting 3 at home, had been 2 at the open. This is one where I'm very leery, Kyle Ross, about going with the macro on a game like this. One game is this very definition of micro. But I have a hard time seeing Houston win the division, as you and I had forecast, if they can't pull this one off at home. If they can't rally, they can't regroup, Arian Foster, I know it's asking a lot for him to be a workhorse on a short week, but I think he can do it. I don't think the Colts can stop him very easily. And I think that, again, Fitzpatrick is going to need to get the support that he needs from Foster. I think Houston will cover this one, maybe win outright.
Yeah, I'm pretty much looking at this game the same way you are, Ricky. Very rare that I offer a recommended play on Thursday night. I think the last time I did it was Tampa Bay at Atlanta. We all saw how well that one went. But I'm expecting better things this time.
Yes.
The reference that I am in agreement with you that the Texans are going to win the AFC South. Still believe that 5 weeks into the season. Both these teams, by the way, have been pretty good at covering the spread. 4-1 against the number for both of them. And that's including kind of the backdoor cover the Colts had against Denver in week one, giving them a check mark there. But when it boils down to it, I have these teams rated pretty even, which I don't think most people do. And so to me, getting any points is a premium with the Texans. Look, I said it earlier in the year, I'll say it again now. Other than the giant chasm, and it is a giant one at quarterback with Andrew Luck over Ryan Fitzpatrick, I just think Houston's better everywhere else than Indianapolis. I really do. And I just think at home, they're a tremendous value getting points. Give me the Texans, first recommendation of the week.
Wow. There goes Kyle Ross laying it down on a Thursday night and on a pick that I certainly agree with. We move to the Sunday games on CBS yet again. 1 o'clock, I refuse to say First Energy Stadium. I'll say Cleveland Browns Stadium still. Greg Gumbel,
yeah,
Trent Green, Evan Washburn on the call. It's the 3-2 Steelers at the 2-2 Browns. Browns are laying 2 points in this one. Very, very rare favorites in the series with the Steelers. Last week, of course, I had that cover all the way with the Browns. No question about it. Knew it at halftime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweated it all. Again, it was more out of disrespect for Tennessee that I made that pick, as you can see, as opposed to respect for the Browns. The Browns are one of the great underachieving units in the league this week, this year, in the course of their secondary. Their secondary is just absolutely awful at this point and should not
be. Yes, it is.
And it's because of that again. I'm going to call this my prove me wrong pick. Browns, prove me wrong. But I can't be on you in this spot. Pittsburgh getting the 2. They've had the Browns number for years. I understand it's a new coaching staff, a new day, but the Browns have to prove something to all of us here. I hope they do it, but I'm going to recommend Pittsburgh with the 2. It's not one of my big three, but recommend it in the sense I recommend all games.
You know, kind of following the lead of the market, Ricky, I do actually think that over the long term, and when I say long term, I don't mean just this year. I mean beyond into next year. Cleveland is the better team here, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they have been bet up, this line opened at a pick, now they're -2. You talk about the history of this rivalry. This is only the third time since they came back in 99 that Cleveland has been favored to beat Pittsburgh. They have lost outright the 2 previous times, one of those last year at home. I cannot endorse either side here at all. The Browns are a very interesting team in that, like the fact that they easily could have won all 4 games they played and the fact that they could have lost all 4 games they played, they're sort of right where you think they'd be at 2-2. When you play all close games like that, a team should essentially have, you know, the same luck winning and losing those games. We always talk about that, Ricky, where, you know, if a team wins 4 close games, they're very fortunate. Or if they lose all 4 close games, well, they're very unfortunate. The Browns, it's kind of even their luck out with the comeback against, you know, just a dreadful Tennessee unit, like you pointed out. So I cannot, in good conscience, recommend either side here. You know, some things do kind of lean towards Cleveland. Pittsburgh is not right. I mean, they struggled with Jacksonville. I believe they had a non-offensive touchdown late, which was kind of the difference to put the Jags away last week. So you never know what you're going to get from them. The Browns have been interesting. If the offense has been way better than you thought it would be. So no recommendation here. Kind of, you know, kind of confused. This was the first game I crossed off this week. Much like the Browns game was the first one I crossed off last week.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's always tough to forecast which Browns team is going to show up, as we saw the first time, of course, that they played the Steelers. Next up, the New York Jets will try to avenge the 1999 AFC Championship game against the Denver Broncos. The Jets are at home. They're getting 8. It had been 6 points at the outset. Oh. Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts, Jenny Dell, another CBS game. The 3-1 Broncos, the 1-4 Jets. This is one where, again, to the extent that you're having a little bit of effect on my way of thinking, again, it looks in this situation, the Jets reeling as much as they are, like they're going to get housed. Muhammad Wilkinson putting good pressure up the middle, though. Sheldon Richardson could be kind of sneaky for giving Peyton Manning some headaches, I think, potentially. And, again, 1 o'clock game in the East. I expect the Broncos to sleepwalk. Again, further evidence of the NBAification of the league here. I'll take Broncos.
Stop with that. Teams are just more even than you want to believe. Teams are just more even than you want to believe.
The Broncos and the Jets are not more even than I believe. I'll tell you that.
They're pretty extreme, but I just don't think the chasm is quite as, if I can use the word chasm twice here in the first 50
okay.
minutes of a program, is as great as you think it may be.
Okay, well, be that as it may, I'm going to go with what I'm sure you're probably going to agree with and say take the Jets and the 8. I think they're going to sneak in there somehow. Certainly not going to win, but I think they'll sneak in.
Yeah, and, you know, Ricky, I am a guy who loves me some underdogs. And typically when I take an underdog and recommend an underdog, no less, I want to have the belief that, yeah, you know what, this team can win. And if I can – again, pile on the Jets first before I recommend them, like you so eloquently foreshadowed. I told you about this schedule that they had before the season and how it did not shape up well for them. We talked about this. Remember, I read it off to you. I'm like, I said they beat the Raiders to open the season. They did. That game was actually a little closer than expected. And then in their next 6 games, they would face, you know, 6 of probably the top 12 or 13 quarterbacks in the league, including – you know, with the ascension of Phillip Rivers this year, and we saw what he did to this Jets team last week, you know, maybe the top 3 now in a row. They go Rivers, Manning, and the next week Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by how poorly the Jets have played. That said, from a public perception perspective, they are probably at their nadir right now. I mean, everyone saw the game last week against San Diego. I think it was, you know, the national game in most markets. They didn't even cross midfield until the fourth quarter. How that happens in 2013 NFL is beyond me. By the way, they went to Mike Vick even a couple weeks earlier than I thought they would. So, I mean, this season has the potential to get really bad. But there's a 10 out there at 5 dimes. You talked about 8. This line's going to go up, 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 and up. Make no mistake about it. No one's going to want to take the Jets, except me. There's a 10 available at 5 dimes. I think most other books are going to get close to there by kickoff. Take the points with the Jets. They're actually 6-4 straight up under Rex Ryan, off a loss by 16 or more. Don't think they're going to win this game outright, but they're going to stay within the number. Jets are my second of 3 recommendations this week.
Wow, big balls by Kyle Ross to take the Jets in this spot as a recommended play.
By the way, just to follow up, I know we're going to have some games we're going to have to plow through now. Just saw this come across my wire here. Denver has received 83% of all bets on this game. That is astronomically one-sided.
Doesn't surprise me. Once in a blue moon.
You know me. When it's under 20, give me the team nobody wants.
Right, right. You know, once in a blue moon, the public's right. But, yeah, I think the odds are with you as far as how often that happens. Next up here on Fox, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Sunday, the 3-2 pack at the 2-2 Dolphins, Sam Rosen, John Lynch, and the luscious Pam Oliver on the call for this one. Green Bay's laying 3 in this spot here. And, again, I understand Miami's coming off a bye. This one was borderline to where I almost made this one of my recommended plays. I'm looking at this, and the Dolphins, as I've said a bunch of times, I love them. They're my 1A team, but there's very little to recommend them, I think, in this spot here. I don't think they can get sufficient pass protection against Green Bay. And, again, this is a spot where the Dolphins are seeing an elite quarterback here, which they haven't really seen to this point this season. It's only going to get worse from here the next couple of games as far as big-time guys. The Packer offense is starting to look hot now. Give me the Packers laying the 3 in this spot. To me, it's almost a why ask why to go the other way, because I don't understand how they're not laying more.
You know, I think I emailed you earlier that I would really love to make a case for the dog here. Miami, as you mentioned, off a bye. They're also 4-0 against the number their last four times they've been a home dog.
Okay.
But whereas you were kind of focusing on, Miami's not that good, and I don't really disagree with that, Green Bay is a team that I believe I said this when we previewed the NFC North for the year, I said would start kind of slow with opening against Seattle, and they then had back-to-back division road games with Detroit and Chicago. So I was not surprised to see them start 2-2. They housed Minnesota last week to get to 3-2. I think this team is not going to lose many games the remainder of the year. I have Green Bay very high in my power rankings. I believe number 4, to be exact. So the reason I'm not recommending this game is sort of out of respect for Green Bay and the fact that, let's be honest, they're just a much better team than Miami.
Significantly better, no question about it. There's no good teams, frankly, in this next game we are going to take a look at. It's the 0-5 Jags at the 1-4 Titans. 1 o'clock Eastern time from Nashville LP Field on CBS. Andrew Catalan, Steve Tasker, Steve Berline doing their second consecutive Titans game. So congratulations to them. The stat that I'm going to give you here, again, a lot of the stats that I'm pulling out here, I love when I get my hands on a USA Today Sports Weekly before we do the show, because it's great for all these little nuggets. So I will credit them once here during the course of this for a lot of the insights that I'm going to give. This one caught my eye. 17 points. When Tennessee hosts Jacksonville, they're 7-2 all time if they can get to 17. Yeah, they can get to 17 on the Jags, no question about it. The Jags aren't going to win many games, and this is certainly one of the winnable ones, so I'm a little bit leery in that direction, but I think Tennessee, after what we saw last week, the second half of that game, Coach Wiz is going to have them fired up, have a flame lit under their ass. Tennessee comes out and I think lays it to them. I would lay the 6 points that it's at now.
Yeah, well, you know, this is interesting because a lot of places have this off the board because of the Tennessee quarterback situation, and I would certainly, first of all, I don't want to get involved in this game considering the two teams involved.
Well, by the way, it might be Charlie Whitehurst, the Jesus of mediocrity, as I have dubbed him.
Yeah, the clipboard Jesus. And, you know, if it is true that he's going to be quarterback, that would make me even less enthusiastic about the Titans because he's not good.
No,
he's just not good. Maybe there is a bit of a difference between him and Jake Locker after all. Jake Locker I don't have a very high affinity for either. You know, with this one pretty much off the board, most places you reference right now, the few places that do have it up are showing 6. I'm just laying off. Tennessee's been a bad spread team at home. 5-9-4 against the number. Yes, 4 pushes. And it's just 7-11 straight up their last 18. They're just not a team I can endorse laying points. And Jacksonville, look, the few losses that I've had the last couple weeks have pretty much been on them. So I'm waiting, you know, with Jacksonville, if they're not getting over a touchdown, I'm not interested. So this is a very easy one for me to lay off.
Yep, clearly, yeah. If I wasn't picking every game, I don't think I'd be going either way on that one, no question. The Ravens, a 3-2, they're at the Tampa Bay Bucs, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa on CBS, Spiro Dittus and Solomon Wilcox on the call. This is one where Baltimore is laying 3, and it had only been 3.5 previously. Again, seems like kind of a suspiciously low number given where these two teams are at. I know that I was higher on the Ravens' fortunes coming into the year than you, so you may not be as surprised about that as I am. One of the key things I'm looking at here in this game, Tampa Bay has given up 292.2 yards per game in the air. Joe Flacco does not have this Ravens offense fully functioning, and I say that as an aggrieved Torrey Smith owner. I think this is the week that things come into a little bit better focus for them offensively than we've seen thus far. I think that Tampa Bay is going to struggle keep up with Baltimore in that regard. I'll take the Ravens laying the 3 on the road.
You know, if you're like me and like home dogs, there are some 3.5 still out there. They're dwindling. Like Ricky said, it's mainly 3, but there are a couple 3.5s out there. For me, you kind of referenced it. I don't think the Ravens are as good as a lot of people do, and I don't think Tampa Bay's as bad as a lot of people think they are. So I would be kind of more inclined to back the home dog, but I kind of want to wait and see on these Ravens another week. This is an interesting barometer game for them, at least, you know, from where I sat. They were real sloppy last week against Indianapolis. Indianapolis, a team that is, you know, without Robert Mathis, is just bereft of a pass rush, all of a sudden got to the quarterback with ease. There's some injuries along that offensive line in front of Joe Flacco. And, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, they've got some holes still, obviously, but they have some good defensive players up front. And if they can get to the quarterback, they can steal this game. So I'm waiting and seeing. I'm actually very interested to watch this game. It's a good barometer game for, I think, how the respective seasons will go for these two teams.
I think that's true. We're going to learn a lot about where they're going based on how they play this week. You could say that for a couple of different teams out there. Certainly, I believe that also holds true for the two teams. In the next game we're going to talk about, it is the 3-2 Pats at the 3-2 Bills, 1 o'clock Eastern time from Ralph Wilson Stadium. Interestingly enough, a Fox game. We're going to see this a couple different points during the season where it gets flexed to the opposite network because of the schedule. 5-time lounge guest Kenny Albert on the call with Daryl Moose Johnston and Tony Siragusa. So two AFC teams playing on Fox, which is a little bit of an oddity, but you're going to have that from time to time. New England is laying 3 on the road. It had been a pick'em at the open, and one of the things that I think is going to be problematic for New England in this game is the ability to run the ball and to take the heat off of the very lackluster receiving core, and I don't think they're going to be able to do that very well against Buffalo. Only 1 week after coming off of a performance about as lackluster as that of President Obama, Tom Brady looked a little bit better, certainly. Looks better last week against New England. Against Cincinnati, and again, looked more like himself. I think for the Patriots, the truth is somewhere in between. And if the truth is somewhere in between, that probably leads to a loss on the road that keeps the Bills in the division. So, give me the Bills getting the 3 at home.
I won with both of these teams last week, Rick Morris. Fun fact.
Yes.
You know, New England's just dominated from start to finish. Again, I mean, this is a team that, I mean, there are a few things as automatic in the NFL as Belichick off a loss. I mean, he is just unbelievable in that situation. They were out for blood. They made what's still a pretty good Cincinnati team look really bad Sunday night. Then you have the Buffalo Bills, who I thought pulled out. You know, I took them plus the point. They wound up winning outright, but it was a pretty fortunate win at Detroit. I thought, by the way, your boy, Jim, you want to poke fun at Barack Obama, I'll poke fun at your boy, Jim Schwartz. Another one of his typical look-at-me moments. Proof positive why
your guy
should never
be
the head coach of anything. Getting carried off the field. What an ass.
A feel-good moment. As the man who brought that franchise back from the brink, a feel-good moment.
Are you kidding me? The only thing I would have liked to see there is Jim Harbaugh coming out of nowhere with a nice doomsday device on him. Give me a break, Jim Schwartz. What an ass. And because of that, I'm not endorsing the Bills this week. Just because you know that you really have to just be a real jackass if I win on you and then like 5 seconds later turn on you. When I saw that, I just wanted to vomit. I mean, give me a lucky win, and this guy thinks he's Buddy Ryan in Super Bowl 20 all of a sudden. Give me a break. But, there are, you know, that said, there is no value on New England anymore because the public predictably is now back on them after the impressive performance Sunday night. You referenced that the advance line before that that result against Cincinnati was a pick'em. So I cannot follow the money in that regard.
I was totally thinking of you when that happened, no question about it. Next up, we have the 3-2 Panthers at the 3-1 Bengals. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati on Fox. Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, Jennifer Hale on the call for this one. The Bengals are laying 6.5. It had been 7 at the outset. This is one where I really kind of went back and forth on this. Two teams we picked to regress this year. We're looking, yep. I think we'll be vindicated on the Panthers. I don't think we'll be vindicated on the Bengals in the long run, the way that it's going now. And that kind of influences me here because I look at how the Bengals handled Atlanta and Tennessee at home. They beat them pretty solidly. I think yes. This will be more of the same. I think that Cincinnati is going to have the measure of Carolina, a team that, again, for the umpteenth year in a row, I think the 98th year in a row, all the running backs are beat up, ineffective, whatever, notwithstanding the fact that I think they're paying them approximately $150 million this year. So
yeah.
I think the Bengals are going to roll.
R.I.P. Marty Herney. R.I.P. Marty Herney.
Yes, yes, exactly. Bengals, I think, will cover that 6.5.
Well, there's a reason this one dipped off the key number 7, Ricky. It kind of came in right before we went off the air. I caught this. A.J. Green has left Bengals practice today with a toe injury. So that's
okay.
Certainly something to keep an eye on. Cincinnati is a team that I would consider throwing in a teaser this week. I am not very confident that they will cover the spread. I am pretty confident that they will win this game. You talked about their home dominance. They won all 8 regular season home games last year. They did blow out both Atlanta and Tennessee, like you mentioned, this year. So that's 10 in a row at home. Carolina, you know, if they were to win here, I'd really start second-guessing my regression call for them. And I'm really confident that they are going to regress. Like you, if I had to kind of revisit those two regression picks between these two teams, I'm still more confident that Carolina is a team that's not going to come close to last year's win total. So I'm laying off of it. I think it might be a little bit closer than you think it might be, but I do think Cincinnati will win the game straight up.
Yes, I certainly agree with that as well. Next up, a fairly intriguing matchup in the AFC West when you're looking at a very, very good team and an absolute dog crap team. It's the 4-1 Chargers at the 0-4 Raiders, the first game of the Tony Sperano era. 4:05 Eastern Time from O.co Coliseum in Oakland on CBS. Kevin Harlan and Rich Gannon on the call. San Diego laying 7 in this one. There have been a couple different points in time here. Jacksonville, the Jets, San Diego, again, with I keep referencing it here, the NBAification of the NFL. They're overdue for a letdown game. Smoke a few blunts in the locker room ahead of time.
No one does that.
This looks like a situation where they come in, kind of take it for granted that they're just going to house the Raiders. Tony Sperano with the motivational technique this week of burying a football to kind of symbolize the past. Quite frankly, if you want to get rid of all the bad vibes, you're going to need a shovel the size of the one that John Cena uses to bury Dean Ambrose. But, you know, nevertheless.
Oh, boy, here we go again.
You're losing
the audience,
Ricky.
You're losing the audience.
Yeah, I do think Oakland is going to stay close, probably get a backdoor here. I like them to stay inside of the 7, although certainly not to win.
Talking about losing the audience, I'm recommending the Raiders here, because
why not?
It's sort of along the same lines as the Jets, in that you're catching them basically if they're nadir of public perception, but there's been a coaching change. They're off a bye week. They've got to be, if there's any motivation left in Raider land, it's got to be shown this week. By the way, interim coaches since 2010, 20-12 against the spread. So there is some positive effect. That used to not be the case. It used to be a real, real questionable move to make an in-season coaching change. But I think at home, getting this many points, and there's even some places where you can get more than a touchdown, which I'd highly recommend doing. Go with the Raiders. San Diego is the only undefeated point spread team in the league right now. They are due for a letdown, although I have them number 3 in my power rankings, and this is a very, very good football team that is getting MVP-level-like play from Phillip Rivers.
They certainly are, no question about that. Next up here, It's the 2-3 Bears at the 2-3 Falcons, 4:25 Eastern time from the Georgia Dome in the ATL on Fox. Justin Kuchar, David Deal, and the lovely tanned Laura Oakman on the call. This is one where Atlanta is laying just the 3 for home field and pretty much have been through the course of the week. I struggle on this one here. These teams both go kind of up and down, but you talked about it previously in the year. Atlanta, a team with fairly pronounced home and road splits, as is sometimes the case with dome teams. It's less explicable to me when it's good weather, but we've already seen New Orleans fold up against the Browns, Atlanta fold up against Cincinnati, so it is real. So simply because it's there, it's in their environs, I have a hard time seeing the Bears at 2-4. A harder time, frankly, than Atlanta, because I picked them to do better than Atlanta, and I still kind of believe in that. But having to pick one of these two teams, give me Atlanta at home, laying the 3.
That seems certainly like the safer bet. It's a good line, too, isn't it, Ricky? -3. I mean, these are teams that, you know, we joke sometimes, oh, you know, how important can this random week 6 game be? I really think when down the line, when you're looking at a potential wild card spot, this game could be huge. I mean, these are teams that before the year I kind of expected to be duking it out for that last wild card. Now, with New Orleans struggling a little more than we expected, Atlanta's got a chance to win that division. I do not think Chicago has a chance to win their division at all with Green Bay. But Atlanta, you talk about those home road splits, 38-10 at the Georgia Dome with Matt Ryan as QB. So I never recommend favorites, but my favorite this week is Atlanta. I'll say that. I could make a better case for Atlanta than Chicago. They fall just short of recommended status, though.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. Next up is the game that has the modified A-team on Fox here. During the baseball playoffs, the A-team for right now, Tom Brenneman, Troy Aikman, and Teresa Thompson. It is the 4-1 Cowboys at the 3-1 Seahawks, 4:25 Eastern Time, CenturyLink Field on Fox. And again, getting to see Troy Aikman on the call, but getting to see Tony Romo, his successor as Cowboys quarterback, be the 12th man. That should be a real treat. I'm sure that's going to end well for Tony Romo. This is one where the Seahawks are laying 8. It had been 8.5 earlier on. Interesting that the Cowboys, always a public team, really not as much this year. I think you've commented on that previously.
Yeah.
They're 4-1. You would expect this to be well south of a touchdown, and yet it seems like people kind of wised up and realized that, again, Seahawks 3-1, a lackluster performance on Monday night, I'll be the first to admit. But you know what? They're that damn good. They knew it wasn't going to take 100% effort to beat Washington. It's kind of disturbing that they went out there and just did what they needed to do and still won by 10 points. I think they're really going to be up for this one. National spotlight game, the featured game in the late afternoon. And, again, 62.3 yards per game yielded on the ground. And that's been the Cowboys' strength with DeMarco Murray. Not going to be able to do it against Seattle. Give me the Seahawks laying the 8 in this spot.
I can't in good conscience lay more than a score. But, you know, if you bring it back to that Cincinnati game where I said, maybe you want to throw them in a teaser, maybe Seattle's the team you pair them with, quite frankly, because Seattle's going to win this game straight up. Dallas played against them last week. They did not cover. I did reference last week that, you know, for a team that's so year in, year out overvalued, that really has not been the case. So, yeah, you remembered that, Ricky. And, again, this week they're catching, you know, their biggest number of the year. Dallas kind of inexplicably steps up and usually loses them close. So that's another reason to be scared about laying the points here. But Seattle at home, obviously, you know, with the exception of that Arizona game last year, always wins with Russell Wilson at quarterback. So maybe you throw him in the teaser with Cincinnati, but not interested in taking or laying the points in this matchup. By the way,
okay.
Tony Romo that you made fun of, that's the same Tony Romo who's the quarterback of the 4-1 Dallas Cowboys, right? Just to be clear.
I hope he's buying 2 Rolexes every week for DeMarco Murray, because DeMarco Murray's the reason they're 4-1, quite frankly. But, you know, I'm sure.
Yeah, well,
again,
it's
Romo's
too bad the coaching staff wouldn't let him hand the ball to him more the last couple of years.
Yes, that's true. They were not doing it the right way. Jason Garrett has been giving a better game plans and play calling this year, no question. Next up here, we have the 1-4 Redskins at the 3-1 Cardinals, 4:25 Eastern time from University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, on Fox. Dick Stockton, Brady Quinn. Now I'm done. And also, Christina Pinch will be working the sidelines. I'm sure Christina Pink will be working the sidelines because it's Susan G. Komen Foundation Month and the NFL is celebrating all things pink. So I'm sure that's the reason that she's on the game here. This is one where the Cardinals are laying 3.5 points in this one, had been 4 at the open. And
not available everywhere, though. Not available everywhere. A lot of places have this off the board. Yeah, this is another one that's off the board a lot of places.
And, you know, I understand that there are circumstances here for this, and it's not just as simple as Washington's a bad team on a short week, but, and that Patrick Peterson doesn't look like he's going to be good to go in this one. But Washington is going to be my pick for the same reason I picked against Arizona last week, and that is the why ask why pick. By the way, I'm 2-1 on those for the year, and I think 1-1 in recommended situations. I don't understand how, again, I understand that let me back up here. There is some kind of, qualms out there people have about if Logan Thomas is in their quarterback instead of Carson Palmer. But to me, it's just pretty much ridiculous to have a line that's this low, even under the circumstances.
Really?
Here. I don't get it. The Redskins are a very bad team. Have you watched them recently? You and I picked them to win the division, and that looks like it's going to be one of our bigger Hindenburg selections of the year, quite frankly.
Well, if I may jump in there, when I made that prediction, and maybe this was foolishly so, I was counting on Robert Griffin III being a little more healthy. As you know, I do not think Kirk Cousins is the great white hope by any stretch of the imagination. So, I sort of told everyone to pump the brakes a little bit when Cousins came in and everyone was like, oh, he's just as good as RG3. That's not true.
Well, still in question is whether or not RG3 is a legitimate NFL quarterback for the long term, in as much as he ran a gimmick offense in 2012 and really hasn't been that healthy ever since. So that still remains to be answered. But
sure.
I just think it should be more points that the Cardinals are weighing, even with the uncertainty there. In a home game there. So I don't understand the line, so why ask why? I'm going the other way. Give me the Redskins getting the 3.5 points. And clearly the smart money must think the Redskins are going to pull it off. I will follow the smart money.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of money here because the line is off the board, like we talked about.
In a lot of places, yes.
Yeah, and I think that it's really valid to have pause with Arizona because the quarterback situation. I'm sorry, I don't care who the opponent is. Maybe if it was Jacksonville or Oakland, okay, and they're obviously at home here, Arizona, I would defend that. But against anyone else, Logan Thomas is not in a position to be laying points against any team. I mean, this guy, he had the luck, and again, the line's kind of inflated. He had that one lucky pass to Ellington last week. That was a really fortunate completion, and then Ellington did the rest of the work, taken to the house. Look, I realize Arizona has just outperformed my expectations now for over a year, and Bruce Arians has now overperformed my expectations going back to his interim status with the Colts for over 2 years.
Yep.
I just think that these teams, the difference is not as great as you think and a lot of people think. And then that's why the line is where it is. I remember you sent me your power rankings this morning. I saw you had Arizona at number 4. I think that's way too high. I don't think
okay.
I don't have Arizona in my top 10. They're borderline top 15 for me.
Here's the thing. I think they're going to be mid-teens by the time I'm done. But for right now, mm-hmm. that's where I got them.
Okay. Sure.
I think they're going to tumble. They've proven us wrong so far. We have to say that.
No, they have. They have. And I'd love to make a case for Washington, but I'd also really like to see what the line is that most shops are going to have, so I would wait.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll send a tweet to you or something later in the week if I really
Excellent.
Like this. Because I'd love to make a case for Washington because they're due to start winning some of these conference games. Another loss last week against an NFC opponent. I think they're what now? 1-14 their last 15 conference games? Eventually, that's got to regret to me.
Short week going to the Pacific time zone. I mean, there's going to be some issues here, but all right, we'll see how that one plays out down to the big three picks this week for me. We start with the Sunday nighter. It's the 3-2 Giants at the 4-1 Eagles. Sunday Night Football on NBC, 8:30 from the link in Philly. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, Michelle Tafoya on the call. I look at this one, and I know you don't believe in momentum, but the Giants, after 2 weeks struggling to get that new offense in there, it's been night and day ever since they've really kind of made their adjustments. Nick Foles has really been kind of struggling this year. I think the league is adjusting. I'm not going to oversimplify it and say it's like the Wildcat all over again, but the league always makes adjustments when you give an off season. Eli Manning yep. right now versus Nick Foles right now. Well, the first of my three recommendations here is going to be the Road Dog Special. Yo, ass, better call, yo, bookie. Give me the Giants getting the three on Sunday night.
The Eagles are complete frauds at 4-1 But I don't know. I'm still a little leery on the Giants. If they win here, then I might be on the bandwagon. But I'll wait and see. This is a very hard game for me to call, especially because the team I'd prefer to take is under the key number of 3. So this one doesn't add up for me. This is a hard one I'm laying off.
Okay. Well, the other one that I'm going on with here, my other non-lock recommendation of the big three, it's the 3-2 49ers at the 1-3 Rams. Yes, it's the Monday night game on ESPN, 8:30 Eastern time from the Edward Jones Dome. I always want to say Edward James Dome in St. Louis.
By the way, Blake Tarico, yeah, who are you going with here? Green. Yeah. Who are you going with here? I wonder.
I'm sure you're really wondering in this spot. Yeah, the Niners are laying 3. It had been 4 at the outset. Again, I'm going to credit this. I've been pulling a bunch of stats from here. I'm going to credit them specifically for this one again, USA Today Sports Weekly. The 49ers this year, do you know that they have no touchdowns in the fourth quarter thus far this year? That seems unsustainable to me.
Yeah.
Clearly seems unsustainable. Yep. They get a fourth quarter touchdown, I think they cover this thing. I'm going to take San Francisco laying the 3 on Monday night.
They've never lost a Monday night under Harbaugh. I don't really have a lot of respect for the Rams. You know, you talk about lucky covers that, you know, some that you had. I had one last week of the Rams.
Well, yeah.
3 touchdowns late against the Eagles.
Right.
I hate this game. I loathe this matchup. Just loathe it. I mean, as a standalone Monday game, you always want to do something. I may have to get exotic on them here because I hate this game. No thanks.
Okay. I can understand it from that perspective and that you do not like to lay the number here with the road favorite. But road favorite, yeah. Ricky strikes again. So I will take the 49ers in this one. And I'm sure there's some real suspense as to what road favorite Ricky will do in this last one here. My 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 6. It's the 3-2 Lions at the 2-3 Vikings, 1 o'clock Eastern time, TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Mike Goldberg taking a brief hiatus here, apparently from calling UFC. He will be on the call with us one. Mike Goldberg, Brendan,
wow.
Ryan Badejo, and Peter Schrager on this one. I have to put over Peter Schrager, who once in a Fox Sports column, foxsports.com, mentioned, gave a plug to fantasydrafthelp.com for doing the 4th of July hot dog eating draft that we generally do for Coney Island. So Peter Schrager will always have a soft spot in my heart for giving us a plug for that. This is one where the Lions are laying 1.5 down from 3 at the open. Again, road favorite Ricky, not much suspense here. Give me the Lions laying the 1.5. I do not see both the Lions and the Vikings at 3-3. I don't think we live in that world, Kyle Ross. I know you said that this is another one where it's tough to get a line in a lot of places, but where you can get a line, looks like 1.5 that the Lions are laying, and I will take the Lions.
Well, I mean, from your perspective, I certainly would jump on the 1.5 if you do like them, because I could see this one bouncing back a little bit. I think Bridgewater's going to play, at least it sounds like it. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot, and you don't know what's going on with Calvin Johnson either. You know, are these the same old Lions? You know, a game like last week makes you think maybe they are. I'm confused here. No, wow, I mean, for this to be your top play, that's pretty shocking. But then again, I recommended both the Jets and Raiders, so what do I know?
Yes, you got the Jets, the Raiders, and Houston for your three recommendations this week. My big three is going to be the Giants, the 49ers, and the Detroit Lions as my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 6. Once again, Kyle Ross, a pleasure. It's going to be a tough slate, but you and I are cruising thus far this year. I know we're going to keep it going this week.
Look forward to speaking to you again next week, Ricky.
All right, my friend. I can't wait as well. Thank you all, everybody, for tuning in to mini episode number 474 of the FDH Lounge.